And last time, a couple of weeks ago, we left off in looking in verse 9, where Paul here talks about praying, okay? And he's also, in this particular part here, asking something very specific, and that is the knowledge of God's will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. We were talking about last time this difference between spiritual wisdom and worldly wisdom, and noticing that there's a big difference between the way the world thinks and the wisdom that the world has versus the wisdom that comes from God. So we need to be seeking more and more of God's wisdom in our lives, and we need to be letting go more and more of the wisdom that the world offers, because the wisdom that the world offers most of the time ain't going to do nothing but get us into trouble. Okay? So we need to be looking more and more at God's wisdom and for God's wisdom in our lives. Now, so that's what we were focusing on last time. This morning, let's look at the next part here. Beginning in verse 10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So let's just stop right there for a moment. That's a whole lot of stuff just in that particular part. He talks about, first of all, this idea of that we may live a life worthy of the Lord. Okay? Now, the word that is used here in the Greek language for to live is the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk. Okay, that's the Greek word for walk. So, when he's saying here that they're praying that we would live a life worthy, then literally it is that we would walk in that life. Now, what does that really mean? Okay, we talk about living a life worthy of the Lord or walking in that life. What does that really mean?
I think it has to do on how we conduct ourselves.
Okay.
On a daily basis to reflect the Lord.
Okay, on what kind of basis?
Daily basis. A daily
basis. And that's really what he's talking about. Literally, it's our daily walk in life. Okay? It's not just our Sunday morning and Wednesday night walk. Okay? It's our daily walk in life. Okay, so we need to be making sure that we're focusing on how are we walking from day to day. Now, we talk about walking. All right, you know, again, what does that really mean, walking?
Going about our daily routine, daily life.
Okay. It's what are we doing? When I was a police officer, you know, you stop somebody out there on the highway for, you know, you suspect they're driving intoxicated, then one of the tests that you would give to folks in that situation, okay, is to have them walk a line. That's what we used to call it, walk a line. And the idea was to see how straight that person can walk, or are they, you know, are they going to be doing this kind of a thing and, you know, staggering all over the place versus are they able to walk a straight line? Well, literally, that's the idea from this word here. How straight can we walk? See? Colonel? Okay.
But also have a purpose or a destination in my life.
Okay.
I'm walking to that place.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm going to walk a certain distance for exercise.
Okay.
It's different than the world because sometimes the world just does does things because other people are doing it, and okay. other people are successful. So I'm going to do that, whereas our walk is guided by the footsteps of Jesus.
Okay.
Two-way destination. All right. For purpose.
There's a purpose in that walk, isn't it? I'm going somewhere, okay? Rather than just strolling along, right? When I'm strolling, what am I doing? Yeah, strolling, I'm just kind of whatever is happening, whatever I might stumble upon. I might stop here. I might stop over there. We just kind of strolling, right? Okay? But walking is a specific intention. W.E. Vine says that that word, peripateo, signifies the whole round of activities of the individual life. Okay? The whole round of activities. It is your life. Okay? What is the walk in your life? And I think, true, is it intentional? Are you focused on where you're going, or are you just kind of wandering around aimlessly? Judy?
I was going to say, too, you know, first of all, my Bible says that you might walk instead of that you might live. But I think that you might walk, it entails not just the idea of walking with a specific destination, but also the conduct you portray as you walk through this
Right,
day.
Absolutely.
You know, this is all, it's all part of it.
Absolutely.
Are we walking and conducting ourselves in a Christian manner, or are we walking and conducting ourselves like the world does?
Right. Absolutely. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul, writing to the church there, says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live, it's the same word there, peripateo, no longer live as the Gentiles do. Okay, in other words, don't walk like the Gentiles are walking, which is action word. Don't do what they're doing. Okay, and he says in the futility of their thinking. So the way they're walking, they're thinking worldly things, and their walk is futile. To the church in Corinth, in his first letter, chapter 7, verse 17. Paul wrote, nevertheless, each one of you should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Retain the place in life gives that same kind of idea. It is your daily life, your activities as you go from day to day, the way you are living your life. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 7. Turn over there, if you would, for just a moment. 1 John 1:5-7. How John describes it here. Beginning in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Okay? And look at what he says next. If we claim to have fellowship with him, that is God, okay, yet walk in the darkness, same word there, okay, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, same word, okay, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Who's the one another? God. Okay, we have fellowship with God. All right? And the blood of his Son purifies us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Now, here's the interesting thing about this. He's talking about, again, same word, our daily walk, right? The word in the original language, the Greek here, for purifies, is in the present tense. We've talked about this before. Why is that so significant? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of his Son purifies us. Present tense. It's ongoing. It's happening right now. Okay? But it's conditional. That ongoing purifying is conditioned on what? Our walk in the light. You see? Okay? But as we're walking in the light, His blood purifies us from all sin. It's happening as we're walking in the light. That's the reason, by the way, that those who are in Christ, and we're walking in the light, our daily life, okay? So what he's talking about here, we stumble in sin. We do that, don't we? Okay? That's why we don't have to get rebaptized every time that happens. Right? It would be a baptism washes away sin, right? We say, well, okay, if I have to get baptized to wash away my sins, why don't I have to get rebaptized every time I sin? Well, I get be baptized 3-4 times a day. Okay? All right? At least that many times, right? Or maybe I just do it at the end of the day for all of the day, okay? All right? But no, we don't have to do that because of this. What? It's I'm already walking in the light. How did I get to the point where I'm walking in the light to begin with? Through the blood of Christ, where I initially was baptized into Christ, had my sins. Well, now I'm walking in the light, and when I stumble and I sin, the blood of Jesus purifies me of that sin. Okay? Continue reading on here, okay? Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So again, it is an ongoing process, but it is dependent upon my walk in the light. My daily walk. Okay? Ray? And then Colonel over here.
Go to God and ask God to help you with your situation.
Absolutely.
And He will take care.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm a firm believer in taking care and trying to make sure that I love to pray. I'm a pray. And it just comes just like first nature. And I think that's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
And know why we're going there in front. What the reason is in our minds before we go there.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
All right.
Colonel?
Like we just read, we confess. Right. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that.
Man.
How do I know that? Because I'm walking in the light and it's clear as day.
Right.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
And we make it right with God and right with whoever we might have wronged along the way.
Right. Yeah. And keep in mind that the group of people that he's talking about here, when he's talking about those who are walking in the darkness, are those who are claiming what? To be Christians, to be in fellowship with God, okay? So we're not talking about those out in the world, which we so often want to focus on them, you know, and how terrible they are. You know, we got folks that are, you know, yeah, I believe in God. We've been studying in our worship time, you know, yeah, I believe in God. And yet their daily walk shows otherwise. See? Kathy, did I see your hand up a moment ago?
When Ray was talking about how he was praying, verse 10 starts up right there. Yeah. And we pray. Before all this happened, we pray.
That's what he's praying about.
Right.
That we would live that kind of life. Okay, Judy?
Well, I was also going to say that, like when Ray was talking about prayer, some of the prayers that we do in private, those prayers can help you to become closer in your fellowship with God.
Yeah.
So it helps you to grow. And it it really is, and reminds you, too, that we as Christians need to do self-examinations.
Yeah.
On a regular period. You know, am I still going or walking this walk?
Right.
Because it is so easy, even for us Christians, to slip off.
Yes,
and sometimes,
is.
If you don't catch yourself, you can stay in that wrong lane.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You walk and you have to re-examine yourself periodically.
Yeah. You know, we have to make sure we understand this idea of, you know, walking in the light and Jesus' blood purifying us is not permission for us to sin. You know, I'm walking in the light so I can do this and then God's going to forgive me. He's going to walk in. No, it doesn't work that way. Because if that's how you're thinking, then you're not walking in the light. Okay? Your focus is way off. All right? So you need to make sure you understand that part of it. Colonel? How can I do it, living it any longer? Yeah.
Right. Absolutely not.
Right. Absolutely. But it's important that we understand that idea of this walk that way. And 1 John is especially important to understand that because, again, it focuses on how are we walking daily in our life. Okay? And one of the things that I've run into with folks, I'm talking about Christians who are trying to live the way they're supposed to, kind of get this idea that every time, I know I'm walking in the light, but when I stumble and I sin, then I'm in the darkness. It's kind of like, you know, the light goes on and off. Every time I sin, the light goes out, and when I repent, then the light comes back on, and then I go along and I sin again, and the light goes out, and so I'm constantly jumping from light to darkness. No. If that's how you've been thinking, throw that out, okay? That's not the idea here. I'm walking in the light, okay, by my daily life. I stumble in sin. Where am I? I'm still in the light, okay? I confess my sin. He forgives me of it. I continue walking in the light. Now, if I stumble in sin and I refuse to repent, then the danger is what? I can end up back out in the darkness because I'm refusing to repent of my sinful life. You see? So I want to make sure everybody understands this. It's not a matter of, you know, on, off, on, off, on, off kind of a thing. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness, one or the other. Where you are and where you remain depends on what? Your daily walk. Okay, or how you live from day to day, all right?
I was just going to mention, to me, David is a perfect example.
Okay,
of
sure.
How to walk the walk. Even though you slip, he still continued to walk that walk because he would confess his sin.
Yeah.
He would be accountable for his sins and would take them to God and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
And therefore, he stayed in the light.
Right.
He didn't remain in danger, really,
right,
to fall away from that life. And
right.
I think he's a good example about dealing with sin in our lives, but yet still walking in the light.
Right. And, you know, the other part of that, I mentioned a few moments ago, that this idea of walking in the light and having the blood of Jesus cleanse us, you know, goes back to, and David is a great example in terms of it's not permission for us to sin. And what's the key there? What was the key with David in his sin? I mean, you know, adultery and murder are not just kind of like, you know, okay, I slipped a little bit here, you know. Those were pretty intentional sins here, okay? I mean, the murder was premeditated by all accounts, okay? And so, but what was the key with David? And we've talked about this many, many times. It was his heart. You see? And so as we're walking in the light, you know, and we stumble in sin, God knows our heart. And so if our heart is saying, oh, I can do what I want, and God's going to forgive me, he's asked to, right? Then your heart's not in the right place. You see? But if you're striving to live your life for the Lord, and, you know, you do some pretty heavy-duty battle with Satan in spiritual warfare, and he wins today, okay, your heart's still in the right place, and God knows that. All right, Colonel? Yeah.
I was reading this morning, my daily reading, the book of him. You know, they're reading the scroll to them. He's cutting the scroll off, throwing it in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that part.
I don't like that. Yeah. Like, he's rotten to the core. Yeah. He's not going to admit that he's doing anything wrong. He's right. Definitely not trying to fix it. Whereas right. David, he, you know, sackcloth ashes, lying on the floor before God asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, and look at the difference between him and Saul. You know, here's David, you know, yeah, like I say, you know, some pretty serious stuff. And but when Saul was confronted with his sin, what did he do? I did what God told me to do. Oh, yeah? Well, what's that bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle there? Oh, well, the man, they're the ones. You know, he immediately turned around and did what Adam did. Well, the woman you gave me. You know, blame somebody else for it instead of accepting responsibility for it. Chuck, did you have your hand up?
As a commander of the army, and commander of Israel, and responsible for the well-being, spiritual guidance, you see how relevant that responsibility is. None of us, foot soldiers in general, ever shirk their responsibility.
Yeah. Absolutely. Your responsibility, you're the leader. The buck stops here.
You have to understand that. That's very true.
Absolutely.
As head of household, as men, as head of household, we are accountable to God. The public position, the privilege of what the Lord has left us.
Yeah.
And also, of course, if all of us, quote unquote, soldiers within the household, with the spouse and the children, everyone is in one accord, moving in the same direction. How beautiful God has always intended.
Well, if the husband and father is walking the way he's supposed to, then the family is going to be following along and so forth. Not, you know, you're going to have some rebellion in the ranks sometimes, but, you know, generally speaking, but, you know, we're responsible for the direction. So, yeah, okay. All right, so let's move on here and talk about the next part of this. We pray this in order that you may live. The word peripateo, walk, but what live what? What does he say here? Live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Okay? Well, what about this idea of a life worthy of the Lord? Okay? What kind of a life is that? Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in 1 verse 27, whatever happens, he says, whatever happens, all right? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. What is this idea of living a life worthy of the Lord? We need to understand that.
We have to remember we are ambassadors of Christ.
Okay.
And therefore we've got to conduct ourselves according to the example that Christ has set for us.
Okay.
As he dealt with the world, as he dealt with the people, and the humility he had.
Okay.
Those are all traits we need to portray to the world, because we are his ambassador.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
God sent his son to be sacrificed because of your sin.
Okay.
And that it's real. It matters. It's important. And so your choices throughout life reflect, hey, I'm conscious of what my Savior did to give me salvation, and I'm going to live in a way that shows it.
Okay. All right. If you think about it this way, hold on, let me get this thought out real quick. Think about it this way. Ask yourself the question, what is the effect of my life on those around me? Okay? What is the effect on other people? Story of a little two young boys go into a store. And, the one boy, he starts, filling his pockets, and he hands some to the other boy. Here, come on, put these in your pocket. And the boy says, no, I'm not doing that. No. And the other boy says to him, whoa, what's the matter? Are you afraid your daddy will get mad and hurt you? He'll find out and hurt you? And he says, no, I'm afraid my daddy will find out and he'll hurt him. Okay. You see, how does what we do in that daily life, how does that affect others around us? And how does it affect mostly the impression that other people have of us in our relationship with God? You see, how do people know us? All right? Ray?
That's exactly the thing. You also don't want us to be busy about it. Handle things the way God would be pleased. We are working for Him. This is not my own job that I can do what I want to do.
Right.
And I can hire and fire. That doesn't work. Right. We need to have the responsibility that God has given us to treat every man as you would like to be treated. That is, keep that mouth closed when it needs to be closed. Do what the Bible says. Any way that we can do that, He will be pleased. We have that responsibility.
Right. Yeah. Because the way that we live and the way we walk reflects not just on ourselves, but on God, does it not? And that's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says to do what in terms of our light? You are the light of the world, right? And he talks about the light on a city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they do what with it? You put it on a stand where it gives light to all who are in the house, right? In the same way, what does he say? Let your light shine before men so they will do what? Two things. See your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Okay? That's the effect that our daily life is to have on those around us. I'll never forget when I was 10 years old. And we used to, every summer, we lived in Ohio, we would go to New York to visit, my mom's family, my dad's family up there. And I was 10 years old this one summer, and my cousin, who was a year older than I, they came over to visit, and we were at my grandmother's house there in the little village of Williamsville. And so my cousin and I decided we wanted to just kind of go wandering around town. We weren't walking intentionally. We were just kind of, wandering around to see, the town and so forth. And so we went down the block and came out on Main Street, and we stopped along the way at all the little stores and shops and so on and so forth. By the time we got home, our moms, okay, my mom and my aunt, knew every place we had stopped. How did they know that? Yeah, because the people in that village knew who we were. And they didn't call the house. None of them called to tell them we were in trouble. They just knew where we were. They called my grandmother's house to let them know where we were. They knew where we were, just kind of wandering. And they just left, and they're walking on down, And they And you see, the idea here is that we're walking and other people were watching us. You see? Other people were watching everything we were doing, everywhere we went. Okay? I sure am glad we didn't get in any trouble.
Well, you kind of touched on this. Like I was raised, when you are out in public, you did nothing to shed bad light on your parents, because that would reflect on how they raised us.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes with our relationship with God. When we walk our walk, we want to put the spotlight on God. We want people to see Him. But I think it goes a little deeper than that. When we walk our daily walk, not only do we need to walk to please God, you know, to show God to the world, but we also need to walk it so we don't bring harm to God's family.
Right, yeah.
Because that's a big part of it as well.
Right.
And sometimes I think we forget about that.
Yeah. Worthy of the Lord. Okay? Mess up, fess up.
Don't try to whitewash it or anything. Yeah. I mean, mess up. You need to go ahead and own that thing and say, I was wrong. You know, because that's what it means to walk in the manner that's worthy of Christ.
Right.
You're not trying to sweep your sins under the rug. You look at them right in their face and say, you know, I was wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because people are watching and they're going to see.
Yeah.
How you handle yourself.
And yeah, it shows a difference here, too, in the part we were talking about earlier is the difference in worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Because worldly wisdom, when the mess up, says what? If you mess up,
cover up.
Cover up. Okay?
Up.
You mess up, cover it up. Deny, deny, deny as long as you can until you can't deny it any longer. Okay? But godly wisdom says what? You mess up, you fess up. See, you get it out of the way. That way Satan can't use it against you any longer. See? Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
This is going forward. Today is my mother's death anniversary. Okay. 3 years ago today. When I was a young man, I was a teenager. I wanted to make sure, because my mother did the best she could to raise us, I made in my mind, I even told you folks, my mother's name means something.
Yeah.
It means something. I'm responsible for how I act and how I do things because of the way she was raising us. I didn't want to cause her no trouble. She got to come down there to jail out. I've never been in one in my life. I don't know what it is. Thank God. Never been to court for anything except as a witness. But I have never wanted to disrespect my mother, her name, or what she meant.
Yeah.
Until this day, I'm thankful. Now, I wasn't a member of the church then. But I had enough common sense to realize how my mama and grandmother have raised me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And to this day, I'm thankful.
Yeah. Unfortunately, today we have too many young people who, you know, don't have that same idea that, you know, in terms of having that much respect for their name and their parents and, you know, and their family and so forth.
Haven't seen that in their own parents.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Let your children see that you're thankful before God.
Yep. Well, they're not going to learn unless they see it modeled.
They learn by your example.
Yeah.
And if they see that you can humble yourself before God, and then they will find it will be almost like a natural thing for them to learn to do as well, because it's like anything else we teach our children. You know, and it becomes ingrained, like Ray said. You know, it was the same with me. You do not do anything to bring a bad name on your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so your children learn that by your behavior on how you treat your family.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Somebody once said, when you go out, remember two things. Remember who you are. More importantly, remember whose you are. Okay? Remember whose you are. Okay, the next thing that he says here in this particular statement is that you may please him in every way. So live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. So we need to make sure we understand that idea of pleasing the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are home in the body or away from it. The idea here is that our life, the way that we are walking from day to day, should be intentional, okay, focused on doing what?
Pleasing God.
Unfortunately, too often, our intention and our focus is on pleasing who?
Ourselves.
You see, and that's where we get so crossed up. We're more focused on pleasing ourselves and what we're doing and where we're going and those kind of things than we are about pleasing him. Okay. And our daily walk in life should be all about pleasing him, not ourselves. Again, unfortunately, our society is more and more focused on self. It's all about me. We can't even, you know, we even got a name for pictures that we take. Selfies. Okay? Selfies. Because we're focused on ourselves and pleasing ourselves. And it needs to be about pleasing him. Okay? Pleasing him. Not only pleasing him, but pleasing him how? In every way, he says here. Okay? In every way. Not just pleasing him occasionally. Okay? I know if I go to church on Sunday, I'll be pleasing God on Sunday. Maybe Wednesday night I'll go too. That'll please him, right? Well, what about the rest of your walk? Say, are you pleasing him with your daily walk each day? So we're to please him. He says specifically, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And that's a whole section here that we're going to focus on next time, because we're just about out of time here. We got about another minute. So I want you to be thinking about, between now and then, read over this and be thinking about and look at some other things the Bible focuses on, talking about bearing fruit, okay, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. Focus on that power, okay? All right? And that being according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So we're going to focus on that next section next week. It's just a whole lot right here in this paragraph, a whole lot of stuff that I think so often we take for granted. We just kind of read over this and go, yeah, isn't that great? And we keep going. And that's why I want to slow down and really spend some time in what he's saying right here. All right? Anybody have anything else before we finish up? 30 seconds. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.